Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we're hoping very, very shortly to have with us on the line our special guest and a good friend, and certainly one of my favorite guests, White Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And we're going to be talking about what's going on in the Middle East. We're going to be talking about Arafat. We're going to be talking about all sorts of fascinating things, and of course, to bring you abreast of what's happening, because most of what's going on, certainly you're getting the propaganda out of the media. It was really very interesting. There was an article in the New York Times that suggested that there had been 100,000 Iraqi casualties since we went in to free Iraq, you know, to bring liberty and democracy there. And I had used that comment in a conversation, and somebody challenged me and said, I want the documentation on that. I don't believe that there could have been 100,000 Iraqi casualties, maybe 10 or 15,000. So I went up on the internet, went on to Google, and of course, as I got onto Google and I'm looking for that, and I type in Iraqi casualties, and up comes this very attractive website. It's very well done, except you don't know who put it up there. And it says there are definitely between 10,400 and 16,800 Iraqi casualties in the war. And, of course, America has the list of all American casualties. In fact, of course, this website looked to me like it was probably put together by the CIA or the Defense Department. So then, of course, we have to begin wondering who's really putting this website out. And, of course, I went all the way down that web page, and those of you who use Google know that you can actually go to a number of sites. You're following that page down, and no place could I come up with 100,000 Iraqi casualties. Well, is that figure wrong? Perhaps I was mistaken. Maybe I'd forgotten. So then I type in 100,000 Iraqi casualties, and of course I got on the right page, and there it was, articles from Reuters, articles from the British Guardian, articles from the Lancet magazine, a very reliable British magazine, articles from the New York Times or the Washington Post. I mean, dozens of articles about the 100,000 Iraqi casualties since we went in to liberate the country. And of course the question arises, if that really is true, if there are 100,000 Iraqi casualties, why is it, of course, that we're not hearing about that every day? Could it be that in wartime the first casualty is truth? Well, I'd like to suggest that that may very well be the case. And really what we need to do is to begin to analyze what's going on and very, very carefully, and realize that the last thing they want is for the American people to have any idea what is really going on and the horror that's taking place over there. Now, I'm not saying the Americans have killed 100,000 people. A lot of them may have been killed by the Iraqis, and certainly if you are an Iraqi and you go along with the Americans, they will kill you. We've created a terrible, violent situation. In fact, even the family of Prime Minister Alawi has been kidnapped in the last couple of days, and leaves his wife and daughter. And of course, it is a totally chaotic situation that we've unleashed. And why did we go in? Well, we had to get rid of those weapons of mass destruction. Everybody knows we're fighting terrorism, or is there another agenda? We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line the editor of World Affairs Brief. And if you don't go to the World Affairs Brief site on the Internet every day, you're missing out the real news, not the controlled news that's coming over the controlled media. And incidentally, if you doubt the media is controlled, you really need to read the book, The New Media Monopoly by Ben Bagdakian, who was formerly chairman of the Department of Journalism in Berkeley. And he's been researching this for 21 years. He started in 1983. His latest book is just out. We carry that. The New Media Monopoly points out that five mega corporations dominate the American people and determine largely what the American people hear, what they read, what they see, and ultimately what they believe. Now, fortunately, we do have the Internet. Fortunately, we certainly do have access to alternative radio and programs like this, but they're few and far between. That's why you've got to take the time to get onto the Internet to learn who you can trust. And one of those people is Joel Skousen. And Joel, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you. I had some telephone problems, but fortunately they got fixed so that I could come on the air.
Well, they'll do anything to keep you off the air anyway. It's good to have you with us. So where are we going to start with our discussion today?
Well, I'd like to start with some of the aspects of the election and the media. I have a, you know, we talked about, and I certainly agree with your remarks on the controlled nature of the media. I have written a piece called How to Analyze the News, where I talk about some of the what I consider misinformation or disinformation sources on the Internet. Government has gotten very much involved in putting up what appears to be private sites, which in fact are government agents trying to throw off people who are determined to find the truth on the Internet. And I give in my piece that's on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. It's also on the center page of joelskousen.com. called How to Analyze the News. I talk about several types of information sources.
Hold that thought right there for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Joel Skousen from editor of World Affairs Brief is with us, and he's talking about his analysis of how to interpret the news, pointing out that they are certainly put up websites to confuse the American people. These are intelligence plants, probably CIA or one of the other intelligence agencies, and they either control them or they give misinformation to the people who have those websites, and ultimately they use these websites on the Internet to control what the American people think or to influence our emotions. So Joel, of course, has written a treatise on how to interpret these, and you really need that help, and you need to know what these websites are and how to, as you look at them, to figure out what they're really saying, because sometimes the information is very good and sometimes it's very slanted. So pick up the story there, Joel.
Well, the important thing to remember is to watch out for too good to be true information, and that is people who claim to have inside information that is just literally impossible for anybody on the constitutional side of the political spectrum to get. A lot of conservatives think rather wishfully that there are patriotic people within government that that see what we see and are trying to get the information out. But in fact, if any one of those people, and I'm sure that there are a few, though they're getting fewer in number all the time, the establishment really goes out of the way, especially in the military, to purge anyone from the military who holds contrarian views to the establishment military and the Bush administration doctrine. In fact, it's even illegal by law to criticize the commander-in-chief, and so you do have a chilling effect on free speech within the military. There are, I'm sure, some patriotic people who do say, see things. If they were to try to speak out publicly, they would be reprimanded and be told to be silenced. If they try to do it through leaks to the press, then they are hunted down and prosecuted. The only people who are allowed to leak to the media are people who are authorized by government to do so, and they really are disinformation experts. And that means that they put out a certain amount of truth, and then they usually give some wrong conclusions. Now, there's two ways in which this has been used. The primary way in which it's been used is to make famous left-wing reporters in the media. All of your major reporters, from Drew Pearson to Herbert Matthews and other people who have exposed destroyed anti-communist leaders over the year, whether it's been Batista versus Castro, he was subjected to complete vilification by Herbert Matthews in the 60s, which led to his downfall.
You're talking about President Batista of Cuba, so that we could bring the communist Fidel Castro to power.
The same thing happened with Anastasio Somoza, who was vilified by, it was the follow-on to Drew Pearson,
Jack Anderson?
Yes. Jack Anderson was one who did the hatchet job on him. Jack Anderson since repented without confessing, frankly, that he was part of a conspiracy that was very, very left-wing to destroy these people. So it's only a partial confession. And that's why he's been kind of blackballed by the establishment media now. But there are others, whether it's Bob Woodward. Bob Woodward has all kinds of insider intelligence people who leak him information, his information, whether it's Daniel Ellsberg and the Pentagon Papers. You simply don't get this information unless government people leak it to you. And but if you leak on the right, then you get prosecuted for distributing classified information outside of government channels. There are, however, a couple of people that are allowed to leak to the right. They only leak to the Washington Times and that organization controlled by the Moonies, either Bill Gertz or Charles Smith gets some leaks in Newsmax.com. Now, these are good people. I'm not saying that these are disinformation experts themselves, but they clearly are getting leaks from government sources and agents, which is technically illegal. And you can't tell me that these things could happen week after week and being published in the Washington Times without the government cracking down on those people unless they are authorized to leak.
And, of course, what they would do is they would simply tap their phones. They would find who they're talking to on the telephone. They would, of course, follow them. They would find out who where the information was coming from. Any fax, any email, any communication is subject to tracking by our government. So you're absolutely right. If they're getting information, they're getting it because the government wants them to have it and creating our reality that way.
That's right. Now, a couple of those that are really in the same ballpark, though not as upfront about it, are Al Martin and Sherman Skolnick. Now, these people come out with, frankly, outlandish claims that you could only get by the deepest of insider sources. I mean, even Bill Gertz of Washington Times doesn't claim to have the kinds of insider conspiracy information that Al Martin and Sherman Skolnick have. These two are particularly suspect.
But, of course, a lot of their information is good, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's
but you
just
have to
thing.
Be very careful about reading it because
right.
There is no way that a single individual, I mean, I'm in the private intelligence business. I know what you can get without breaking the law. I know what you can get without having, these kinds of sources. And frankly, these are too good to be true. You, in the first place, Washington Times will never print anything about conspiracy. So Bill Gertz will never, neither will Newsmax.com, even though, interestingly enough, the main
Chris Reddy.
Chris Reddy, who runs it, is one of the primary authors of the Vince Foster's conspiracy expose, which was very well done. And yet, he's turned completely pro-Bush and establishment, despite all of the evidence he has that this was a major conspiracy. I think he blames it on the Clinton administration, as if it all went away when Bush got elected. But there's no evidence that that is true. But Al Martin, claims to be running from the powers that be, and yet he also claims in his letters to be hobnobbing with everyone at Redstone Arsenal every week and having dinner with the Mucky Mucks and the generals, and publishing on the Internet every week. You can't tell me that you can be that public and hide and be on the run from the government. And yet he has these completely too good to be true revelations that come about secret insider conspiratorial dealings. Now, if they were true, he would be shut down in a minute because the establishment powers don't allow real, true information that names names to get out in public without quelling the source.
But, of course, if you quote those sources and they turn out to be wrong, then you are discredited. So you have to be so careful in what you do. I know you are trying to be careful, and I do too. But it's always so easy to get fed false information.
Now, there's another example that's very, very interesting, and you've been one of the primary sources to bring out this, and this is Alexander Robbins, who wrote the book on Skull and Bones. Now, you know, as I've analyzed the Robbins case, and I know that she's given some good information, but, you know, she doesn't really cover the real conspiratorial, satanic, and evil aspects. And when you listen to her interviews and writings about Skull and Bones, what it appears to be is a diversion, that is, to reveal some secret information about Skull and Bones, which, by the way, she got through Skull and Bones people themselves, which in the first place is something that isn't allowed. They violated great oaths. I think that they had permission to talk to her. When you see the young woman, she's definitely too young, too unsophisticated in the ways of the world to have worked her way in to that scenario by merit. In other words, she was allowed to have the information to give her a spot of fame of which she was able to garner a great deal of book sales with. But I think it's mostly a diversion. It diverts people away from the real satanic aspects of Skull and Bones and only gives the light stuff. No, I don't know what your...
I think she's really very, very sincere. I agree with
you
totally. Her information is has been very carefully screened before it was ever given to her. But as she describes a Skull and Bones wedding that somebody else had witnessed, and she had talked to them, a woman hiding in a hayloft had seen this, and here are these future leaders of America wearing their black robes and hoods, and I'd have forgotten whether they had candles or not, but, you know, they got their pagan chants, and they're having this Skull and Bones wedding, one of the few of these that ever seen by anybody outside of Skull and Bones, and they've lived. And, of course, as she describes that, and we go through this during an interview, I said to her, Alexandra, doesn't that bother you to think that these are the future leaders of our country in their black robes with the hoods and going with the pagan chants? Doesn't that frighten you? And she hesitated, and she said, well, you know, it really does. So, now, yeah, but I think that...
But that doesn't come out, Stan, in other interviews.
Oh, I know. But then most people haven't read her book as carefully as I had.
Yeah.
Well, we have a four-tape set up. If you ever like to hear them, I'll be glad to send those to you.
I think it's fascinating. I think the important thing to remember, though, is that there are much worse things that, had she really got the inside information, it would have been much blacker.
Well, of course, but they were not going to feed her that sort of information, and she thought she was getting accurate information. I think she was very sincere, but I think that she it would be so easy to mislead somebody into thinking they were getting the inside information when they really weren't, because I don't think they dare let the American people realize the implications of this occult satanic organization running two candidates for the presidency of the United States.
That's right. And there's talking about disinformation, there are other sources, you know, that are primarily outlets for government misinformation. Now, one of those, in my opinion, is Stratfor.com. It's a very competent organization. But here's a professor that, you know, came out and started Stratfor. And all of a sudden, within a few months, he had economic information of the highest quality coming from every nation in the world. Now, you simply don't do that on a shoestring budget. That requires millions of dollars, and he wasn't charging anything for the information.
Well, of course, he was obviously getting information, but it was what they wanted us to get. And isn't that the way it works? Good information mixed with bad and, of course, distorting our reality.
Yes.
Sort of like the Truman Show. If anybody hasn't seen the Truman Show with Jim Carrey, let me suggest you see that. In many respects, that's just what's going on in the world today. Well, hang on to your hats. We'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Skousen. But right now, we've got to take a break here at Radio Liberty. Have you ever wondered
what the Vietnamese War was really all about, why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war. Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. 9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this afternoon is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And if you don't go to worldaffairsbrief.com first thing in the morning when you're getting onto the computer, why you're missing an excellent analysis of what's really going on in the world. And this is the information you're not going to hear from Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly. So pick up the story from there, Joel.
The last thing I want to cover on the alternative news sources, talk about the issue of the Unification Church, the Moonies' control over the Washington Times. The Washington Times did and I was back in Washington when it was just starting out in the early 80s and knew some of the principals there, Dr. Arno Demorsgraf when he was editor there, and he assured me that they did have a complete editorial freedom. I think they did pick people who were legitimate conservatives. But it has become obvious over the years of what kind of control has, I think, been exercised there. In other words, they were very strong. They used, or they grew because of the excesses of the Clinton administration. And they played off, you know, the Democrats as they had great hold on the Congress during the Reagan and first Bush administration. So they were able to make a lot of headway there with conservative readers. However, when the Bush administration came out, I think the real true colors showed forth. The way in which the Moonies have controlled this has made sure that there virtually is no mention of conspiracy. There's no mention of the betrayal of the Bush administration. The Washington Times, like Newsmax.com, has become a relative shill for the Bush administration. Anything Republican is that which would be promoted, and nothing that is a betrayal of the previous conservative messages that they put out have been, you know, brought to light. There have been a few minor exceptions, but by and large, they've never, ever, you know, like Rush Limbaugh, they've been complete supporters of the war in Iraq, of all of the international promotions of the Bush administration.
Well, I think, you know, of course, they put several $100 million into that newspaper. This is not a money-making proposition. It has to do with controlling the conservative Christians of this country and making them think that they're going to have, they have a newspaper that's going to share their values. And much of what is in the Washington Times is excellent. I read it through, and it's some excellent editorials. But, of course, it's never going to tell you the full truth, exactly as you say.
And so that's how there's the control from both sides. Now, as I've investigated some of the financial arrangements of the Unification Church, they have always said that, you know, they sell trinkets in Japan, religious artifacts and things, and make all of their money. But it appears as if, because they've now been buying whole industries in Korea now, that they've got a huge amount of money backing them that is far bigger than what trinket sales would ever account for. It's been my feeling that through the Korean government, working through the Americans and the CIA, that they in fact have been, acting as an extension of this global conspiracy from the U.S. through Korea.
Well, I shouldn't
agree. Very much involved in the way of also selling military technology to China and to even North Korea as well. So, this is a very suspicious organization in terms of its allegiance to true conservatism in the Constitution.
I agree with you totally.
Going to more modern affairs here.
And remember, this is a completely new audience, so you can go ahead and repeat anything you've said before.
All right, great. First up on the World Affairs Brief, fresh off the press today, is Arafat is dead, and I said gone to hell. Now, you won't read that headline in any newspaper, Dr. Stan, but I believe it's true nevertheless. God literally pulled the plug on this raunchy terrorist, and we are spared from having any more talk about the state of his health. It really, truly was controlled. According to a leak from the Paris military hospital where he was staying, Arafat actually died on November 7th. But French officials acceded to Palestinian PLO demands to keep him alive artificially so that they could continue to get ready for the transition, and that they could deal with Arafat's wife, Sua, who was suddenly trying to gain control of Arafat's secret bank accounts. One of my sources noted last week that they aren't really lying to us. Everything the French doctors say can still be true, and Arafat still be dead. And I took a look at some of the statements they were making, and it's really true. They were saying his condition is stable. Well, of course, dead is very stable as well. His heart is still beating. Well, sure, in a coma with electronic probes, they can keep that heart stimulated and beating for quite some time. But other leaks from the hospital indicated that his brain was dead, the liver and kidneys were dead. The body, therefore, was becoming toxic with every hour that you circulate blood through a system that is breaking down.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Joel Skousen and talk about the death of Arafat and what this is going to mean for the Middle East, for the Palestinian people, for the Israelis.
The Anglo-American establishment It gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American Establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention that we do carry, of course, the Sanjian 505 radio. It's shortwave AM FM. And, of course, if you need a good shortwave radio, you know somebody else who needs one so they can listen to our programs 4 hours a day. And we recommend the Sanjian. It comes with a 25-foot aerial in the carrying case, and it's a digital, so you can just lock right in, of course, to our programs and listen on a regular basis. And, of course, the secret to getting shortwave reception is a good aerial. That's the Sanjian 505. You can see pictures of it on our website. And then, of course, we also carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, so you can train your child up as the Lord would have you, from grammar school all the way through high school graduation for $199.95. There's nothing like it. It's on 22 CDs. Everything you need is there, except the sex and math textbooks. Give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 for the Sanjian Radio or Robinson Curriculum. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest today is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And, of course, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But before we get to that, Joel, do you have a number or a website people can go contact you so they can subscribe to the World Affairs Brief as well as I do?
Yes, if you have access to the Internet, the best way is to go to worldaffairsbrief.com. And press on the subscribe button. Even if you don't subscribe, you can check the site daily for the top news stories that my researchers post directly to the website. I do an analysis of those stories, filling in the gaps and explaining how they are related to one another every Friday. And that is by subscription. It's only $30 a year. And there's also a lot of information about past cover-ups our government is engaged in to keep people from knowing the truth about such notable affairs as the JFK assassination, the shoot-down of TWA 800, the Oklahoma City bombing, the Vince Foster murder, the Ron Brown murder, and now 9/11. So there's a great deal of information there. Now, for people who don't have access to the web, they can go to their telephone and using a toll-free number request a sample of the print edition of the World Affairs Brief. That's at area code 877. That's toll-free, 877-518-5888.
One more time.
877-518-5888.
All right, fine. All right, fine. Well, let's finish with Arafat, because I would like, of course, to talk about some other fascinating things I saw on your website today.
Oh, yes. Well, Sua, his wife, has been trying to establish legal precedent so that she can claim, actually, they don't know where the money is that Arafat has stashed away, but she's trying to go through a legal proceeding in the French courts to use discovery to, you know, break through the shroud of secrecy. I don't think she's going to be able to do it. They gave her an offer when they came to Paris, that is Abu Ala and Abu Mazen, the two big shots of the Palestinian Authority, gave her an offer, quote, that she couldn't refuse. And she took her reported $2 million and slunk away back to her plush Paris apartment. The Israelis, by the way, set up the fund from Arafat, so they know where it is, of course. They know what names it's under, and I wouldn't be surprised if they've emptied the account or holding it hostage so that they can have some way of manipulating the Palestinian secession process here. Arafat actually died of AIDS. The French do know. They were claiming at first we don't know what his cause of death. Now they've announced that we have only revealed the cause of death to the family, claiming privacy concerns. And of course they aren't talking. I think one of the most embarrassing things about this whole Arafat thing is the hypocrisy of world leaders rushing to attend the funeral of this arch terrorist at the same time that they are pretending to fight a war against terrorism. They pay homage to this jackal who should never have been accorded a proper burial. Even the leader of Hamas came out of hiding in Damascus and flew to Cairo. I wouldn't be surprised if the Israelis try to take down his aircraft as he's leaving. Obviously, government officials should have arrested him on the spot. So the secession battle begins. That's something we'll report on. I've covered who the primary candidates are and a couple of issues of the World Affairs Brief, and we'll continue to report on that.
All right. I think it's really so interesting that in the controlled media, why they never once make a mention of the fact that all of the evidence shows that he died of AIDS. If you go up on the Internet and type in Arafat and AIDS, you'll find all sorts of articles, and, of course, some of them appear to be very legitimate. He was a homosexual. This has been quite well known for some time. But, of course, the controlled media will not put that out because he was one of their darlings. And, you know, I suspect that the leaders of all the totalitarian countries in the world will probably be there at his funeral, as well as representatives of the European and American country as well.
That's right. The United States is sending representatives. Most countries are sending lower-level foreign ministers. He's not worthy of even that.
Well, one of the things I would like to touch on is something I read fascinating in your website, which I've not read any other place, and that is that the leader, the presidential candidate for both the Green Party and the Libertarian Party, are demanding a recount of the vote in Ohio because there were far more, I think there were, certainly everybody who's registered to vote doesn't vote, but there were 90,000 more votes than there were registered voters, which would suggest there were an awful lot of people who voted, you know, that weren't there.
That's exactly right, Stan. In one county, there's only 895 registered voters, and there were 4,000 votes cast.
Right. Well, they explained that by saying that the electronic machine had a hiccup. It had a hiccup. And I'm wondering, can people really read that article? We have it out of the New York Times. Are they really going to accept the fact that the machine had a hiccup? I mean, how do machines hiccup? You know, what they're doing is trying to cover that. Of course they fix this, and all the votes were for Bush.
That's right, and so there are some real, I mean, Ohio is the state that gave the presidency to Bush, and the vote was manipulated there.
And they're asking that it's going to cost $110,000 for a recount. Wouldn't it be interesting, first of all, if they found out that the whole election was rigged, just like they do in the banana republics?
Well, you and I both know that the chances of that conclusion being aired, even though I'm certain that it's true, that them coming to the conclusion, I mean, if they can write off TW-800 as a fuel tank explosion when there were 150 witnesses to various aspects of the missile shootdown, and they can recreate and use millions of dollars to recreate a phony video, and the thing just dies and the American people accept it, they can cover anything, Stan. You know, it's amazing when you look back, and that's why it's important for people to read on my website the history of these various cover-ups. It's in the specifics that people come to a detailed conclusion that conspiracy must exist. when you look at the number of people in fiduciary government responsibilities that collude with one another, who have no right or responsibility to collude, we're supposed to have separation of powers in the government. And separations of powers are built into the judicial system, so that you have investigative arms of government that aren't supposed to be talking to the executive or Congress or the judiciary until they're called before the courts, and we have these violated all the time, as we had in the falsification of the intelligence for going to war in Iraq. And then we have the collusion of the media, of course, making sure that by direct omission, none of the crucial information that would distort the official point of view is aired before the American public. Or if it is aired, it's only aired one time in a minor way. I think the media has found out that they can, in fact, tell the truth once or even twice sometimes, but unless they make a drumbeat, the American people won't ever get behind it and be disturbed by it.
Well, it's very interesting that that one recent Zogby poll in New York where about 50% of the people polled said they didn't believe the government story as far as what happened on 9/11. In other words, they believed that there were people in government who knew that the attack was coming and let it happen. Now, that's in New York City or New York State, I'm not sure which one. But the fact that that poll was taken, and incidentally, recently before, the multimillionaire went in and bought full-page ads on television and the various newspapers back there, he may have swung an awful lot more people, to a realization that we've been lied to about what happened on September 11th that led us to the terrible situation that we're in over in Iraq today.
One of the things that could have been very effective is when the families protested about the controlled results of the 9/11 Commission, their leaders got them to petition the government for another commission, and that's the wrong way to go about it. I mean, if they can rig one or they can rig two, they can rig three. The important thing is they should have garnered public, or not public funds, but private funds and public donations, and gone ahead and hold their own private investigation, and they should have called. Now, you don't have power to subpoena, but at least it would have been public, and you could have aired directly and documented your request to have government officials come and testify, and their refusal to testify, or call them on the phone. It's amazing what a lot of publicity could have done in a private venue that would have been much more effective than appealing to government to do another cover-up.
Well, we don't need another government. People have forgotten what happened after Pearl Harbor. I think they had five or six government investigations before they finally had an honest one. And then, of course, still to this very day, most of the records of what happened on December 7th, 1941 are still classified, supposedly because we don't want the Japanese to find out what we knew before the Second World War.
What they already knew. They obviously knew what they were doing.
Right.
So what can you have as a secret? Now, what they didn't want them to know is that we induced them to come to war, though. And that's been very plainly put out in Robert Stinnett's book, The Day of Deceit, which I think you cover, or you offer for sale, don't you?
We have that still offer for sale. We have a two-hour interview with Robert Stinnett, a part of history, a very important part of it. Another hour with John Tolan, who wrote, of course, Infamy, the story of what really happened. So with those two interviews, you get tremendous insight into the betrayal of the boys we left at Pearl Harbor to die.
I'm interested to know in your interview with Robert Stinnett, I know that in his preface to his book, he offers an excuse. He feels like the Roosevelt administration was justified in pulling this off so as to, for the greater good of defending America against the Nazis and getting America to overcome their isolationism. Does he still hold that point of view, or did you discuss that at all with him?
I really didn't. It may be the only reason he was able to get that book published by a major publishing house was by using that as a justification. Oh, well, it was for the greater good. We had to have an excuse to get into the war with Adolf Hitler. Of course, nobody ever points out the American corporations had been building up Adolf Hitler beforehand, creating the best enemy money could buy. But anyway,
yeah.
That's an entirely different story. But if you get into the background of how this Anglo-American establishment we talk about so often was encouraging Adolf Hitler to go into the Rhineland and into Austria and of course, into the Sudetenland, that's all covered in our special syllabus, Iraq, the Untold Story. Because if you don't understand the Second World War and how we actually financed Adolf Hitler, you certainly can't understand what's going on in Iraq today.
Very good point.
Let's get on that. Do you think that they're really going to have a recount? Will they dare to allow a recount in Ohio if two presidents or candidates demand it and are willing to pay for it?
It's hard to say. I mean, that's pretty hard evidence. They can, of course, attempt to hold them financially hostage by making them bear the whole cost of it, which shouldn't be allowed. You should be able to call for a recount, you know, when there's good evidence of that, and certainly there's good evidence. You should be able to hold kind of a hearing before where you bring forth or have the courts force people to come and testify who are county election agencies under oath about the charges, and then if those are deemed sufficient, then you can say at government expense there needs to be a recount.
And I thought it was so interesting, the man who's to be in charge of the whole electoral process just happened to be the chairman of the Bush for President Committee. And of course they've asked he be recused from any consideration of a recount. And any of our listeners out there who'd like to see that article, it's up on Joel's website right now, at newamericancentury.org. Pardon me, I'm sorry, worldaffairsbrief.com.
Right.
Worldaffairsbrief.com, and you can pull that down. Fascinating information.
Next subject, of course, you know, if there was any hope that the Bush administration was going to mellow and become more international in their organization, they may give lip service to that, but in terms of their desire to continue to antagonize the world, what's going on in Fallujah right now is going to become, in my estimation, a great rallying cry for the insurgency in Iraq. They're literally destroying the city of Fallujah using massive airstrikes. They prepped that city for a week of airstrikes, destroyed about a third of it. Fortunately, about two-thirds of the civilians had left prior to those airstrikes because they'd been doing airstrikes the week even before that. Though not as heavy in its bombardment, it was compared to being similar to the Baghdad strikes. What we're talking about here is the fact that, first of all, this war is nowhere near close to being over. When you're having this level of expense and death, we're having more deaths, in fact, going through Fallujah than the original attack on Baghdad. So this is a major battle akin to the actual invasion, and we're no closer to pacifying Iraq. And we'll be no closer after Fallujah is done.
But what bothers me is, of course, many of this, even the moderate Shia clerics, are saying through their followers, don't vote in January. Do not vote there. We've got to punish the Americans. And so if you're not going to have an election in January, how long is America going to stay there?
I think it's important to realize as well that this election is only to elect the Constitutional Assembly. It is not the real election for a full government. And so I'm really not sure that's a smart tactic for the Shiites to boycott that election. If anything, they ought to be well represented in the Constitutional Assembly that's going to write a constitution. But be that as may, it doesn't look like there's ever going to be peace if the Shiites aren't going to participate in the constitution. It's going to be a secular constitution. The U.S. is going to make hay over that issue and force the Shiites to come in under that secular banner, and I don't think there's ever going to be peace because of that.
Well, I think when I was reading an article in the New Yorker magazine about what happened when we went in, and the first thing we did after promising the military we would not disband the military, all we wanted to do was get rid of Saddam Hussein, we dissolved the military. We dissolved the police force. We fired everybody there who knew how to do anything, because they were all members of the Baathist Party. They were the ones who ran the water system and the electricity and the sewer and the industry and the hospitals, and we fired them all. And guess what happened? There was total chaos. And really, still to this very day, you don't get water, you know, most of the time. You don't get electricity most of the time. I mean, the healthcare system is chaotic. You know, and these poor people over there, they don't know what to do. If they support the Americans, why, the radicals will kill them. You know, if they don't support the Americans, they don't have any means of income, the country is dying.
Well, it's certainly being split asunder, and there'll never be peace. You know, the economies never completely die because people, even under communist regimes, go down to a survival level and they stay there. They don't go below that. And that's what's happening in Iraq. Now, there's also a a level of corruption arising. That is, those who have ends with the Americans are allowed to prosper. And so there is that lure to not be part of the opposition. They see people prospering, getting wealthy. Halliburtons are leaving room now for some Iraqis to come in and gain part of the largesse of reconstruction. And so they're trying to buy off a lot of support from people, and that's the way that tyrants do it and always have.
But, of course, Alawi's wife and daughters, or about three members of his family, have been kidnapped. That's not a very good lesson. Support the Americans. Why, we're going to, of course, kidnap you and maybe even execute your family. I mean, the people in there are just, they say, between a rock and a hard place. What are they going to do?
Well, it's true. You know, they don't have much power to do anything. The Alawi regime is certainly a puppet regime from the American people, and everybody in that regime are people who have been, sworn allegiance to America. And that's why they're under attack. Now, the insurgency, according to some reports, was actually targeting mostly Iraqi people in the city of Fallujah. I know that isn't true now because the Americans have come under very heavy fire.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to tell you about some of the items that we have here. We hope that many of you will want to get. We have a great four-tape set on Operation Paperclip. Most Americans have never heard of Operation Paperclip when, at the end of the Second World War, and of course, the wicked Nazis, and we found out the horrible atrocities they'd committed, and of course, they were to be tried at Nuremberg, they were to be arrested, they were to be held responsible for their crimes against humanity, and yet 1,000 Nazi scientists were brought here to the United States under Operation Paperclip, many of them to continue their horrible experiments here, both biological and, of course, mind control. And, of course, it was the Nazi scientists like Werner von Braun who got our rocket industry going, and the man who was in charge of that, General Strughold, was a Nazi war criminal. Why we even named our space center after him. Most Americans have never heard of Operation Paperclip. Even, of course, more fascinating is the story of the Rat Line. And, of course, the Rat Line was controlled by the CIA and British intelligence, where they helped 10,000 Nazi war criminals escape to South America. Klaus Barbie, Adolf Eichmann, Martin Bormann, Dr. Mengele, and all of these. And we helped them escape down there. And, of course, this is all covered in our four-tape set, Operation Paperclip. We have another four-tape set on a depleted uranium. And, of course, what is depleted uranium? It's solid uranium, 238, with a little 235 and other things mixed in. The only thing that's depleted is they've taken out some of the 235, maybe about less than 1%, and they left some of it in there today. And it's being spread all over the Middle East, in case of nuclear war. Go up on the internet, read about it. We have a four-tape set. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. Ask for Operation Paperclip and depleted uranium four-tape sets. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and, of course, this is the time. We have, of course, going to let Joel wrap up what he has to say. Joel, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, would you like to just sort of wrap up your thoughts for us?
I think that we've got to be very careful of what's coming up in the economy-wise. The dollar is sliding. I think they're going to allow it to slide. I don't think it's going to be precipitous, however. A lot of internet rumors to that regard, but I think the establishment powers are going to try to hold things together on a slow downward slide, so as to not have a precipitous depression. I think things are going to get tougher economically unless you're in the pipeline for American or aid or deficit spending, so to speak.
Right. Government job or defense job, you'll do fine, but anything else, you're going to be in trouble.
Yes.
All right, fine. Well, look, thanks so very much. We'll look forward to having you with us. Probably not next week because I'm going to be away a lot of the week, but the week after that. Until then, thanks so very much.
All right, Stan.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye now.
All right, well, that was Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief. And go up to his website, www.worldaffairsbrief. Pull down those articles on the elections in Ohio and ask yourself, if this is true, why doesn't we hear about this from Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity? Aren't they conservatives? Well, maybe that's why they're covering it up. The finest commentators that money could buy. And, of course, you need to get on the Internet. You need to listen to our programs. They're available 5 hours on the day, every day, weekday at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. 5 hours on the Internet, 5 hours on the radio someplace across America, 5 hours on satellite, and 4 hours on shortwave. Please tell your friends across America about our shortwave programs. Tell them about our Internet programs, and they can go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Please pull down our newsletters, and, of course, you'll find the fascinating, well-documented, and we're not going to make a statement on the radio that we can't give you adequate documentation on, and, of course, much of it is primary research. Many times we've actually talked to the people ourselves or known people who've talked to the people who've made the history of the world in which we live today. So, again, our website, RadioLiberty.com. We also wanted to mention to our listeners, somebody brought up the question the other day, will the Berkey water filters filter out radiation? If there were to be a nuclear attack, would they work? And I talked to Jim Shepard. Yes, they will work. You can't make water radioactive. It's the dust particles. And, of course, either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light will filter out the particles. But you need an extra set of filters because in a couple of weeks they're going to become radioactive. So you're going to have a means of replacing those filters, and you certainly don't want to leave them on your Berkey water filter. But if there were to be a major cataclysmic event, you would need a source of water. And because the regular water would be contaminated, have all the dust particles and radioactive particles, but the Berkeys, both the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light, will filter them out. You can go to our website at RadioLiberty.com and learn more. And, of course, if you do get the Berkey water filters through Radio Liberty, you'll get a 4-tape set that we've produced, or you'll get a video that we've produced. So we think it's a great thing to have on hand. We also suggest you get a copy of the book, Within the Red Zone, written by a gentleman who was trained at the Lenin School of Military Warfare. And believe me, they're planning on striking America. They've always planned. They're in full production for war now. And, of course, Igor has a great list there of everything you need and the things that you need to know about. Inside the Red Zone, available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for revival in America, because if this country doesn't turn back to God, is there any reason why God should ever bless this country again? And then, of course, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. Until Monday, when we'll be back once again. May the Lord be with you.